Kairos, good evening. Merry Christmas. It is good to see everyone here this evening. We wish you a Merry Christmas on behalf of the entire Kairos family. Just for the record, I did not tell Pastor Jason he had to do that with the shaving cream, okay? And I am glad, Bosco, there is no more shaving cream as well. Before we get started here this evening, I have just a couple of things I want to share with you, and that is, first, it involves this candle. Everyone should have one of these candles. If you do not have a candle, would you just raise your hand, and one of our ushers will be happy to get you one, because you're going to need that a little bit later tonight. So if you, looks like most people have one. If you do not have one, feel free to raise your hand. We'll be happy to bring you one. What I want to say about this candle is, we would love for everyone to participate, even our different backgrounds, whether this is your first time here at Kairos or you call Kairos home. What we want you to know is that this is Christ's table, and so all are welcome to this table. If you are seeking Christ, if you want to grow closer in your relationship with God, Jesus wants to meet you at this table tonight. So we want to invite you to participate in that when we do that. So before we do both those things, I have one question for you tonight. Just one question for you tonight. And, you know, for many of us, this is going to be the most still and reflective that we're going to be in the next hours or even next days or maybe even have been. Maybe we're coming from a busy season or trying to get things in the oven or food prepared, trying to get our last-minute Christmas shopping. So just one question, and it's this. Is there room in your home or in your life for Christ this Christmas? Is there room in your home, in your life for Jesus? Of course, if you've been with us for the last couple of weeks, you know that we've been in this series called Home for Christmas. Home for Christmas. And what we said is that there is a yearning, there is a longing for each and every one of us for home. But it can never be fully satisfied here on this side of heaven, in this place. That the perfect home that we want, that we long for, the perfect home, no such thing. No such thing. Ultimately, we said, only the God who is there can satisfy our ultimate longing for home. And the good news of Christmas was that last line in the video that we just watched there, that it's not about us coming home for Christmas, it's about home coming down to us. Not about us coming home to Christmas, but it's about home coming down to us. Now, of course, Christmas, you know, is this grand holiday, right? It's this beautiful season. It's filled with lights, with trees, with all sorts of caroling and gifts. You know, I was yesterday I was in downtown Princeton, and I paid $6.75 for a hot chocolate because it's Christmas. Right? And my kids want, and it was actually another 75 cents to put two marshmallows on there, okay? But I didn't pay another 75 cents to have them toasted, all right? So I drew the line there somewhere. But hey, it's Christmas, right? And so it's this festive time. It's this beautiful season. And yet so many celebrate Christmas without knowing Jesus. And the truth is, friends, is that without Christ, Christmas lacks depth. It lacks meaning, it lacks hope, and it lacks any sort of future significance. But if you know Jesus, Christmas goes past tomorrow. Christmas goes past tomorrow. The hope, the joy, the meaning, it goes past tomorrow. Jesus goes with you throughout your life. Throughout your life. And, you know, of course, we all come to this space. We come to this night with different stories and in different circumstances. And so for each and every one of us, making room in our home, in our lives, it's going to look different for each and every one of us. But think about, if you know anything about the Christmas story, there's a number of characters that play out into the story, the way that Matthew, Mark, and Luke tell the story. We think of an older man named Simeon, who had been promised that he would get to see the Messiah. He would get to see who would be Jesus. But he had to wait till he was very old. He almost died, but he made room in the face of death for the Christ child. We think about Joseph, Jesus' earthly father, and he had some doubts, if you know that story. He found out that his soon-to-be wife was pregnant, and he said, well, wait a minute here, what's going on? As I imagine we all would. And yet, so he had some doubts, but yet he said, when the angel appeared, that deep down I knew that something miraculous was happening. The only person that really didn't make room in their life was Herod. Herod, the ruler at the time, the only one that didn't make room. There was no room for anyone in Herod's world except for himself, and it literally killed him. We think about the wise men. The wise men who were told by that Herod to go find this child, they did, but they were also told to return home, and yet they listened, and they made room for a change. They made room for a route that would be different. They realized their mistake in order to worship, in order to love the Christ child. The innkeeper, we kind of get on the innkeeper because, hey, you could have found a place in the home, but hey, still, the innkeeper found a way, found room for this couple and for Jesus. And of course, Mary, despite her fear, her confusion, she was used by God in a mighty, mighty way. I think about the shepherds who made room in the midst of their ordinary lives for this child. What we see in each and every one of these characters is that they were pulled into a bigger story, a story filled with purpose, a story that gave life meaning. And isn't that what we all want? Isn't that what we all want? We all want a life that's filled with meaning and that's filled with purpose. And so I want to encourage you, friends, this evening. I want to encourage you that if you make room in your home, if you make room in your life for Jesus, you will find that same meaningful life. You will find that same life and light. Now, this is, of course, both for those of us who have maybe never embraced Christ before, maybe never embraced the Christmas story, but also for those of us that have. We talked about this a little bit last week. For those of us that have embraced the story, hey, we love the Christmas story, but the truth is we need to make some more room in our lives. Maybe things have got a little bit cluttered in this season of our lives. And so we need to make some room for Jesus. Now, the characters that I just mentioned, they provide what I would call an earthly perspective. An earthly perspective, but I want to look at the gospel writer of John, because John actually offers the Christmas story from a more global or cosmic perspective. We read these words in the beginning of John's gospel. He writes, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that had been made." And what John's saying here, he's saying that the child that was born that first Christmas, the babe, the young, helpless youngster born in the first century in this small, obscure town in the Middle East, that child didn't just begin there. That in some mysterious way, God entered humanity through a child as Jesus, but the Son, Christ, was there all along. Was there in the beginning. That, in other words, that the same God of Christmas, the God of Christmas is the same God who created and who ordered the world. That's what John begins his gospel with. And the one who ordered and the one who created the world, he created you. He created you with a purpose. He created you with meaning for your life to be in relationship with him. And as your creator, he knows you best. He knows your deepest desires, your inner needs. And it's only in a relationship with him that your deepest desires will be fulfilled. John goes on in verse 4. He says, "In him," in Jesus, "was life. And that life was the light of all humankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." Sometimes the truth is life feels awfully dark. Life feels look out at our world. Just pull up your news app, and you can see how dark our life or the world looks. But it's not just out there, it's also in here. Maybe some of us are feeling the darkness in our lives this Christmas. And yet the hope of Jesus is that his light can never go out. His light can never go out. In the midst of your darkness, his light will shine. And there will be a day, he says, when there will be no more darkness. There will only be light. Verse 9, the true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world. And though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. And see here, what John acknowledges is that Jesus will never force himself on you. He will never force himself on you. He came into the world and people were looking for a savior, but yet they rejected Jesus. They rejected Jesus. And so Jesus won't force himself on you. He won't make you make room for him. There's this beautiful image found in the book of Revelation. It's at the end of the New Testament, of the end of the Christian scriptures. And it's this image of Jesus knocking on a door. He's knocking on this door, and he says this. He says, if anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in. And see, Jesus, he won't kick down the door. He's not going to kick down the door. He'll only knock. And it's your choice whether you will open that door or not. Now, the thing is, if we decide to do just that, if we decide to open the door, what we find is nothing but love. We find nothing but love. Look at verse 12. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children not born of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. See, friends, when you make room in your life for Jesus, you become a child of God. You become a daughter or a son of the living God, a child who is loved, a child who is cared for, a child who is given gifts and mercy and joy and purpose and meaning. That's who you are in God's eyes. John concludes this way. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and the only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. See, the most amazing thing about the Christmas story, friends, that God would come and dwell among us is the fact that God is still here to dwell among us. That is the great good news of Christmas, that Jesus is present in the lives of billions of people who call themselves Christ followers around the globe tonight. Billions of people are celebrating the birth of the Christ child. Jesus gave us his Spirit, his Holy Spirit, to live and indwell us so that we would not be alone, so that we could have strength and courage and encouragement to live our lives as God would want us. And Jesus, of course, he grew up. We keep reading the scriptures. He suffered this horrible death for you and I. And the truth is, though, he came back to life. He came back to life and he dwells. He was resurrected. He dwells with us today. And so he wants to give your life purpose and meaning as you follow him. So my simple question for you is, will you make room? Will you make room this Christmas for Jesus in your life? Remember, it's not about us coming home for Christmas, but it's about home coming down to us. And this Christmas, Jesus is at the door and he's knocking and he says, anyone that hears my voice and opens the door can come in and become a child and loved by God. And so is there room in your home, in your life, for Christ this Christmas? light the Christ candle as a sign of Christ's presence with us tonight. Friends, as I mentioned, we're going to celebrate in Holy Communion together now. And so that the same Jesus who was born in a stable, he lived his life, he showed us the way that we can live ours, and then he went and he suffered this brutal death on our behalf to take away the sins of our lives and of the world. And a few days before that, before his arrest, he took bread and he broke it. And he gave it to his disciples and he said, "Take and eat. This is my body which is broken for you. Do this, eat this in remembrance of me." And in the same way, he took the cup and said, "This cup is my blood shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. As often as you drink of it, do so in remembrance of me." The Apostle Paul, who wrote over two-thirds of the New Testament, would later add that as often as we eat this bread and we drink this cup, we celebrate and remember the Christ's death, but also his resurrection. Remember that there will be a day when he will come back again. He will come back again. So what we're going to do in just this moment, as I mentioned, if you are seeking a relationship with Jesus, you are welcome to come to the table and to receive. We're going to play a song called Arrival. We want you to listen and meditate on the words because they're deep words. They tell a theological truth. Thank you, Irma. They tell a deep theological truth about what Jesus has done for us in the Christmas story. We want you to begin just to quiet your hearts. You might want to close your eyes or put your hands out as a sign of receiving these words. But then whenever you are ready, we would love for you just to come up, take a piece of bread, dip it in the juice. Please only dip the bread in the juice and not your hands, okay? If you feel more comfortable, you can come take one of these. And you can take it back to your seat, and you can take the bread and the juice at any time. You don't have to wait until for everyone to be done. We're all going to do this in our own pace, at our own time. Just use these moments to pray to Jesus, to listen to his voice, and to listen to, okay, Bennett, I didn't say you had to wait, so you can go now. So let's play the song and let's meditate. Just take one, buddy. And we'll meditate and pastor's son, you know, that's what you get. Come and receive when you're ready. Friends, as we close our time at the Lord's table, let's stand together and we're going to pray the Lord's Prayer, the words that Jesus taught us to pray, and the words are going to be up on the screen. So would you join me in praying in a minute? We're going to join me in praying as Jesus taught us to pray, saying, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen."